Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Nityalila Pravishtaka Om Vishnu Padma Munsvaruga Kasharya Stotra His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Om Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Parivrashaka Charya Stotra Shata Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami from Maharashtra Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Namacharya Haridas Thakur Ki Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Prem Sekoha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaur Bhaktivrinda Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gop Gopinath Sham Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Vrindavan Dham Ki Mathura Dham Ki Navadip Dham Ki Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Ganga Mai Ki, Yamuna Mai Ki, Bhakti Devi Tulsi Maharani Ki, Sankirtan Yagna Ki, Brihad Mudanga Ki, Samaveta Gaur Bhaktivrinda Ki, Gaur Premanande, all glory to the assembled devotees, all glory to the assembled devotees, all glory to the assembled devotees, all glory to Sri Guru and Gauraka Jaya Srila Prabhupada Ki, Jaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Cheva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirayet. Before reciting this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisance unto the personality of Godhead Narayan and to Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. So today we will be reading from verse number 38. So we are in the third canto, the status quo, chapter 15, description of kingdom of God. And today we will be reading verse number 38. Yeah, I just kind of broken down the words so that there are like words combined. So you can just see the bottom line if you want to just follow the individual words. Tam tu agatam pratihrita aupakikam svapumbihi te achakshata Aksha Vishayam Sva Samadhi Bhagyam Hamsa Shriyoho Vyajana Yoho Shiva Vayu Lola Shubra Atapatra Shashi Kesara, Shikara, Ambum, Dvamtu Agatam Parihrita Aupakiyam Svapumbi. Dvamtu Agatam Parihrita Dvamtu Agatam Parihrita Aupakiyam Svapumbi. Deyakshata aksha vishayam svasamadhi bhagyam Hamsa shriyo vyajanayo shiyovayu lolat Shubra patra shashishekara shikara ambuja ambum Tvam tu agatam parihrita aupakiyam svapumbi Deyakshata akshata vishayam svasamadhi bhagyam Hamsa Shriyo Vyajanayo Shiva Vayu Lolat. Shubhra Patra Shashivhe Sharashika Ambum. Shikar Ambum. Dvam Tu Agatam Parihrita Aupakiyam Swapumbi. Teyakshatakshata Vishayam Swasamadhi Bhagyam. Hamsa Shriyo Vyajanayo Shiva Vayu Lolat. Shubhra Patra Shashike Sharashikara Ambum. Vishayam Svasamadhi Bhagyam Hamsa Shriyo Vyavinayo Shiva Vayu Lola Shubhra Patra Shashikeshe Keshara Shikara Ambum. Agatam parihrita avadika samumbi te akshata akshata vishayam svasamadhi bhagyam amsa shriyo vyajanayo shiva vayu lola shubhra patra kashashikeshara shikara ambum. Svam Tvagatam Parihrata Pikayam Svam Bundi Hamsa Shriyo Vyajanayo Shiva Vayu Lola Shubhra Patra Kashashikesha Rashikara Ambu Tvam Tvagatam Parihritam Vayu Shataksha Vishayam Svasamadhi Bhagyam Ashriyo Vyajanayo Shiva Vayu Lola Shubhra Patra Kshashikesha Rashikarambu. Mataji? Tagatam parihrita payatam svambhi Te akshataksha vishayam svasamadhi bhagyam Yam Sa Sri Yorvedana Yoshua Vayu Lola. Champatra Patra Kshishikesha Rashikarambam. Tvam Tvagatam Paripratayatam. Te chaksha taksha vishayam svasamadhi vagyam. Hamsa shriyor vyajanayo shiva vayu lola. Shubhrata patra shishara shikarambo. Tvagatam paripratayatam. Vishayam sva samadhi bhagyam. Shubhrapa patra shashikesha rashikaram. Tam him tu but Agatam, coming forward. Pratihrita, carried. Aupakiyam, the paraphernalia. Swapumbihi, by his own associates. Te, the great sages, the Kumaras. Akshata, saw. Akshavishayam, now a subject matter for seeing. Swasamadhi bhagyam. Moving. Shubhra Atapatra, the white umbrella. Shashi, the moon. Keshara, pearls. Shikara, drops. Ambum, water. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The sages, headed by Sanaka Rishi, saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who was formerly visible only within their heart in ecstatic trance, had now actually become visible to their eyes. As he came forward, accompanied by his own associates, bearing all paraphernalia, such as an umbrella and a chamara fan, the white bunches of hair moved very gently, like two swans, and due to their favorable breeze, the pearls garlanding the umbrella also moved, like drops of nectar falling from the white full moon or ice melting due to a gust of wind. Purport. In this verse, we find the word Achakshatam Vishayam. The Supreme Lord cannot be seen by ordinary eyes, but he now became visible to the eyesight of the Kumaras. Another significant word is Samadhi Bhagyam. Meditators who are very fortunate can see the Vishnu form of the Lord within their hearts by following the yogic process. But to see him face to face is a different matter. This is only possible for pure devotees. The Kumaras, therefore, upon seeing the Lord coming forward with his associates who were holding an umbrella and a chamara fan, were struck with wonder that they were seeing the Lord face to face. It is said in the Brahma Samhita that devotees, being elevated in the love of God, always sees Shyamasundara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, within their heart. But when they are mature, the same God is visible before them face to face. For ordinary person, the Lord is not visible. However, when one can understand the significance of His holy name and one engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord, beginning with the tongue by chanting and taking prasad, then gradually the Lord reveals Himself. Thus, the devotee constantly sees the Lord within his heart, and in a more mature stage, one can see the same Lord directly as we see everything else. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuranmitam Ena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Ena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadayantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrujatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Shri Lalita Vishakanvitamscha Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratishe Namaha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpata Rupyascha Krupa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, welcome everyone for today's Bhagavatam class, and thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak on the glories of the holy name and the God. And I like to apologize for the last class because I was kind of speaking too fast, I guess. So this class I'll try to kind of slow down so that you can absorb what I'm saying, I guess. But if you feel I'm going too fast, just indicate that I'm going too fast, okay? So today's verse is about the darshan of Lord. The Lord Vishnu gave darshan to the four Kumaras. So today the subject matter will be how to see God, what is the process to see God, and why we are not able to see God, and what are the required qualifications to see God. So that will be our today's subject in we will be discussing in this class. Many people have asked in the past to Prabhupada about this question, can you show me God or have you seen God, something like that. And many times actually Prabhupada didn't really appreciate such a question, mainly because it was actually asked in a very challenging attitude, not in a very submissive and humble attitude. So, however, but Prabhupada did give a hint some qualifications to see God. And we can see here in one of the conversations of Prabhupada, we can see, Namam Durskritino Muda Prapadyante Naradama. Sinful rascals, fools, the lowest of mankind, they inquire like that, can you show me God? What qualifications have you acquired by which you can see God? Here is a qualification. Tat Shraddha Dana Munayo. One must first of all be faithful, Shraddha Dana. One must actually be very eager to see God. Not that one takes it as frivolous thing, can you show me God, or as a magic. They think God is magic. No. So here we can see some of the things what Prabhupada mentioned, what it takes to see the God. There are two reasons which are given by Prabhupada here. The first one is Shraddha, means the faith. And the second reason what he has given is Lavlyam or eagerness. So these are the two things which Prabhupada has quoted. And we will be further digging into this, like what it takes to see the God face to face. Before we move on, answering the question, can you show me God or how to see the God? The first thing is that before you see the God, the assumption is that you agree that the God exists, correct? I mean, that's why you're asking the next question, that how do I see the God? So that's an assumption. So if you take a step back and ask a question, okay, before you see the God, how do you even know that the God even exists? Correct? If that's even more a fundamental question to ask, even before you ask, how can I see the God? So I would like to first address this question, and then I will move on to addressing the very first question, how to see the God. And here I would like to briefly introduce the three pramanas, which lays as a foundation for whatever I'm going to speak next. So the three pramanas which are mentioned are pratyaksha, anumana, and shabda pramana. So pramanas are nothing but the means of acquiring knowledge. Pratyaksha pramana means like direct perception of something. The things which you learn by direct perception is called as pratyaksha pramana. And anumana pramana means that those things which you learn by inference, that is called as anumana pramana. And those things which you learn by just a revealed knowledge, that is called as shabda pramana. So the first one is pratyaksha pramana means perception. Pratyaksha literally means like to see with eyes, like before your eyes. So that knowledge which you gain just by directly perceiving with your senses, that is called as pratyaksha pramana. And this pratyaksha pramana is of two types. One is external perception, other is internal perception. As you all know, we have like five knowledge acquiring senses, which are ear, skin, eyes, tongue, nose. So those things which you perceive through these external senses and the knowledge you acquire from them is called as an external knowledge. Let's say that you see the sky and you see that the sky is blue. That means that you're using your eyes to see the sky and then you're coming to a conclusion that the sky is blue. So this is like an external perception. But also, internal perceptions means that knowledge which you gain through the mind, like through emotions like pain, pleasure, love, hate, etc. Because Krishna also mentions in the 15th chapter, actually even the mind is one of the sense object. It is also one of the knowledge acquiring senses in addition to the five mentioned before. So let's say, for example, you meet a person and he's like really friendly and then he gives you pleasure and happiness. So then you conclude that this person is a very friendly person. So this is something which you perceive through your mind, some emotions, and then you come to a conclusion about a specific person. So this is a pratyaksha pramana, means which you directly see and experience and perceive. And the next, before going that, okay, what are the limitations of pratyaksha pramana? As you all know, basically this is actually prone to four defects, which is committing mistakes, being illusioned, tendency to cheat, and imperfect senses. So like, for example, previously we have concluded that by looking at the sky is blue, right? I mean, you can see with your eyes that the sky is blue. But however, you must understand that actually sky doesn't have any color. The sky is just reflecting what is, you know, reflected onto it. Because in the daytime, because of the sunrise, it is blue. In the nighttime, there is no sunrise, so it's black. So intrinsically, sky doesn't have any color, but it's just that you perceive it like that because of your imperfect senses. And the other example what I gave is that, like, you know, you meet a person and you conclude that he's a friendly person, but you spend enough time with him, he may know that actually he's not really friendly, right? So in this way, there is a limitation of our senses, and that is one of the limitations of the pratyaksha pramana. And the other limitation of the pratyaksha pramana is that it is only limited to the present. I mean, you can only see something which is present, right? I mean, you can't see something which is in the past or what's going to happen in the future. You don't have any control over that. So this is kind of only limited to the present. And of course, it's also limited to something like an external or internal phenomena only. So these are the limitations of the pratyaksha pramana. And the next is anumana pramana, means inference. So the knowledge which you acquire through inference is called as anumana pramana. Anu means which follows, mana means a previously established knowledge. So that thing which you establish or conclude from a previously established knowledge, that is called as anumana pramana. So here are three things when you are doing, when you are applying a logic of inference, there are three things you need to consider: vyapti, hetu, and sadhya. Vyapti means a known fact, means you know something for fact. And hetu means something which you perceive, the unknown object we are trying to understand. And sadhya means what's the relationship between the known object and the unknown object. That inference, what you call, is called as anuman pramana. Let's take for example, like let's say that you see a smoke over the mountain. So what is the known fact, the vyapti? The known fact is that you always see that along with the fire there is smoke. I mean, you are convinced with that. There is no need to doubt that. So when you see a fire, it always has a smoke. So that's an established fact. You don't challenge that fact. And then you perceive an object. That object in this case is something which is looking like a smoke. So that's a perceived object and you're trying to understand. And by using your previously established fact that a fire is always associated with smoke, then you conclude that because you see the smoke, but even though you cannot see the fire, you infer that there is fire, even though you don't see the fire. This is called as inference. But the problem with this inference is that with the hetu. The hetu means perceiving. But the problem with the perception is that, again, it ties back to the pratyaksha pramana. Because you may see something, but how do you know that it's a thing what you're seeing? Like, let's say that you see a smoke, but it may not be a smoke, it may be just a cloud. So that means that there is a fallacy in your logic, because the foundation itself, the hetu itself is wrong, because hetu is depending on the, again, pratyaksha pramana. That's why some philosophers actually put pratyaksha and anuman in the same category, because ultimately it again goes back to perceiving something through your senses. So these are the limitations of pratyaksha pramana and anumana pramana. And the next one is shabda pramana. And this shabda pramana means basically, this is something which you don't pursue, but this is basically a revealed knowledge from the authorized sources, that is called as shabda pramana. And this knowledge can be of two types. One thing which is like, even in the science, you know, you take shabda pramana, like, you know, you agree the laws of physics, you agree some previously established facts which is considered as valid. So, and of course you have other things which is called on the spiritual realm. So in this way, the shabda is also divided into two different categories, Paurusha Shabda and Apaurusha Shabda. Paurusha Shabda means which is having like a human origin, and this is mainly deals with the material subject matters. And Apaurusha Shabda means that which does not have a human origin, that is directly coming from the divine Lord himself, and which is passed down through the disciplic succession, that is called as Apaurusha Shabda, means it is untouched by the human, intelligence, which is having its own limitations. An example is Vedas. The Vedas are actually Apaurusha Shabda, the which does not have a human origin, which is having a divine origin. And this is free from all the four defects, and this especially deals with that matters which is related to the spirit. So now that we understood these three pramanas, let's try to see which is the superior among them. And out of all these three, Apaurusha Shabda is the supreme among all the three pramanas. And there are five reasons why this shabda pramana is supreme, especially when you are relating, acquiring the knowledge about the something which is beyond the matter. The first reason, because shabda pramana, Apaurusha Shabda pramana is supreme, is because it is free from all the four defects. As we mentioned before, it does not have a human origin, so it is does not have any four defects. And also, this shabda, basically, it does not depend on pratyaksha and anuman. It is independent. And sometimes shabda and pratyaksha may assist, pratyaksha and anuman may assist shabda, but shabda doesn't rely, like just like anuman. Anuman depends on pratyaksha, because the hetu is depending on the pratyaksha. But however, shabda is not depending on anumana or pratyaksha. It is independent. And sometimes the shabda, it can even correct the pratyaksha and anuman. Just like, for example, when you're walking in a desert, you see a mirage. From the mirage, you perceive that there could be some water. But however, let's say the person already has a previous knowledge that in the desert you may see a mirage. That means that he has a knowledge of shabda. So even though he sees something, because the knowledge what he has can correct the pratyaksha what he's seeing. So in this way, the shabda has a power to correct the anumana and pratyaksha also. And that those facts which are established by shabda is irreversible, like no matter what, like whatever pratyaksha anuman says, they are irreversible facts. You agree it. And shabda is a powerful tool of acquiring knowledge, especially when you want to learn about facts which is beyond the human perception or human touch. In this way, so shabda is a supreme. But however, you must understand that even though the shabda is supreme, but that does not rule out the need for the pratyaksha and anumana. As we can see in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna says, by direct perception, logical deduction, scriptural testimony, and personal realization, one should know that this world has no beginning and end. So here we can see that, yes, beginning and end, and so is, should know that this world has a beginning and an end, and so is not the ultimate reality. So here we can see that even though you're trying to understand the shabda, but however, to understand the shabda, you need direct perception, logical deduction, scriptural testimony, and personal realization. So what are we trying to do here? Direct perception means pratyaksha. Logical deduction means anumana. Scriptural testimony means, which is shabda. And personal realization is called as vaidusha pratyaksha, which I'll explain going forward. So now going back to our question, let's say, so how do we know that God exists? Like, because none of us have really like literally seen God like face to face. But however, most of us believe that there is God. And how does this understanding came about, this belief in God? So that is essentially true, you know, because, you know, if you are born in India, you know, the parents are, you know, they say that the existence of God, and also the scriptures talk about the existence of God. So this knowledge of existence of God itself is something which we have acquired through Shabda Pramana. So, but however, it is still a theoretical knowledge, because you just heard, it's just a theoretical Shabda knowledge. So next, when this Pratyaksha, as I mentioned previously, even this Pratyaksha and Shabda, you know, Pratyaksha and Anumana, when it has a foundation of the Shabda, then that enquiry can be further classified into two different categories. So this Pratyaksha can be of two types, Vaidusha Pratyaksha and Avaidusha Pratyaksha. That means that when the Shabda is guiding the Pratyaksha, that Pratyaksha basically is called as a Vaidusha Pratyaksha, because then that does not have any more fallacies of limitations of previously explained limitations of the Pratyaksha, because now this Pratyaksha is not based upon your sensory perception, but it is based on the established facts in the Shabda. And such a perception is different from an ordinary sense perception, because that perception now becomes a divine perception. It's just not a mere sensory perfection, because the Shabda is acting as a foundation for that. And such a person who has understood or who is seeing the things through the Tattva, and such a person is called as Tattvadarshi, means the one who is seeing with the knowledge. And a Pratyaksha of such a person is called as Vaidusha Pratyaksha. And then even in the Bhagavad Gita, we can see that Krishna explains that for you to understand the knowledge, to gain the knowledge, he says that you approach a guru who is Tattvadarshi, means who has seen the truth. Jnanina Tattvadarshina means, Darshana means like, literally means to see. And Tattvadarshina means the person who sees the truth. And only such a person can explain you the Shabda, and who has realized knowledge. And also in the sixth chapter, he mentions that a true yogi observes me in all beings and also sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized person sees me, the same Supreme Lord, everywhere. So in this way, we can see that a Tattvadarshi, a realized person, his vision is something which is different from an ordinary vision. And sometimes Prabhupada gives the example of a mechanic. Like, let's say that something is wrong with your car. And even though you see, but the vision of a mechanic is different, because his vision is having a backing of a knowledge. He can see the truth. So in this way, the vision of a realized person, a Tattvadarshi, he sees God everywhere. He can see the God everywhere, his God presence everywhere. And that is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita also as Tattvadarshi. And there's one more shloka where Krishna says, one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So in this way, a person who has the understanding of the scriptural knowledge, but when that knowledge becomes realized through using of Pratyaksha and Anumana, he becomes a Tattvadarshi. And the vision of such a person is a Vaidusha Pratyaksha, and he can see God everywhere. And in one of the lectures, Prabhupada has mentioned that it's given here in Los Angeles, that one has to approach a person who has seen God, Tattvadarshi. How God can be seen? Tattvadarshi. Tattvadarshi means one who knows the truth. Truth means how to see. Pashyanti jnana chakshu. By the eyes of knowledge. Pashyanti jnana chakshu. Shastra chakshu. Not that if someone challenges that, have you seen God? Yes, I have seen. How? Through the Shastra. Through the Shastra, God reveals. You cannot see. Even God comes before you. Just like Krishna was present. Here is God before you. But you cannot understand. Unless we are advanced in Krishna consciousness. So unless a person has a knowledge, and only for such a person, the vision of such a person, he can see the God. And asking such a question like, can you show me God? Actually, this question is not really something to be condemned, because of course it depends on the attitude in which the question is put forward. Because even Arjuna asks the same question in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, after Krishna explains different yogas, he asks that, "I want to see your see the form of yours." So even actually Arjuna is asking this question, that "I want to see God face to face," like, you know, even though he got all the knowledge in the previous chapters, but in the 11th chapter, even Arjuna asks, and Krishna doesn't condemn this question by Arjuna, nor even Prabhupada, he doesn't condemn this such an attitude of seeing God face to face. And even in the purport, actually, Prabhupada mentions that therefore one should should be careful. One who claims to be Krishna should be prepared to show his universal form to conform his claim to the people. So in this way, even though you may have a knowledge, Shabda, but however, you have to justify that Shabda through your pratyaksha and by having it to the human comprehension in order to validate the Shabda. Otherwise, that Shabda will become a blind following. And even Prabhupada actually encouraged that, no, you know, you say you are God, then show me your universal form. That means that you want to literally see with your eyes. It's a pratyaksha pramana. Even though we talk that pratyaksha pramana is defective, but still, when the Shabda becomes a foundation for pratyaksha pramana, that is actually authorized and that is encouraged. So, coming back to our question, can you show me God? So, let's see when the God has actually appeared face to face. So, in the previous yugas, Satya, Treta, Dwapara and Kali yugas, you know, we have God appeared in various avatars, Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Narsimha, Vamana, and in Dwapara also, Krishna and Buddha. But however, if you see that actually in Kali Yuga, there is no scheduled incarnation of Krishna. It's towards the end. It's just Kalki. But in between, there is no really a scheduled incarnation of Krishna. So, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there was this pastime when Lord Chaitanya was in Vrindavan. People used to come to him and say that, just like a group of people, they used to come and say that, "Hey, you know what? Every night Krishna is coming on the bank of Yamuna and he's playing on the head of Kaliya. Do you want to come and see? Do you want to join us?" Then Lord Chaitanya said, "No, you all can proceed. I'm not going to join you." And like these people, ignorant people, they used to, 3 days in continuously, every day, they used to come and ask Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya, that, you know what, actually Krishna is actually appearing on the bank of Yamuna and then he's dancing on the Kaliya. And one day, I mean, of course, Lord Chaitanya had his assistant, Balabhadra Bhattacharya. On the third day, actually, Balabhadra Bhattacharya became interested and he said that, Lord Chaitanya, that actually I want to go and see on the bank of Yamuna to see Krishna face to face. And then Lord Chaitanya actually slapped Balabhadra Bhattacharya, and Lord Chaitanya says that Krishna kene darshana keve khali kale nija brahme murkha loka khare kolahale. Why would Krishna appear in the age of Kali? Foolish people who are mistaken are simply causing agitation and making a tumult. And in the purport, Prabhupada mentions that actually Krishna, according to scripture, Krishna appears in Dwapara Yuga, but never he appears himself in Kali Yuga. Rather, he appears in the Kali Yuga in a covered form. So, to have a direct pratyaksha darshan of the Lord actually in Kali Yuga is not possible. Actually, it was possible in the previous yugas, but in the Kali Yuga, it is actually not possible. So, if someone asks a question, okay, now you say that the Krishna doesn't appear in the Kali Yuga, then a person born in the Kali Yuga, then how can he see God face to face? Like, how can even a normal person, if he was born in the previous yuga, he could see Lord face to face, but how can a person born in the Kali Yuga can see Lord face to face? So the answer to this question can be found in Brihad Bhagavatamritam. As you may all know, the story of the Gopakumara. The Gopakumara, actually, he was trying to see God and he was roaming all over the universe trying to find God, to see Krishna face to face. And one day he comes to the Tapoloka. In Tapoloka, he happens to meet Pipalayana Maharshi. He's one of the Navayogendras. And he asks his question to Pipalayana, and then Pipalayana Maharshi, he answers the question of Gopakumara that, "Why do you roam here and there to see Lord Krishna with your eyes? Absorb your mind in samadhi. By doing so, you will see him automatically. He is always situated inside and outside, and you will see him as if you are seeing him directly." So this is instruction given by Pipalayana to Gopakumara, who wants to see the Lord with his eyes. And he further states that, if on some occasion the Lord manifests himself out of his compassion for his devotees, it happens only due to the eye of pure knowledge. The eyes are merely carrying the false pride of being the seers. Even in those rare cases when the Lord is seen by external eyes of devotees, it is only the heart which is capable of perceiving the happiness of such darshan. So in this way we can see that, okay, let's say that even if the Lord appears before you, but you are thinking that you are seeing the eyes, the Lord with your eyes, but actually it is not the eyes, but the real perception is actually happening in your heart. So why are you so proud, pride of, like, you know, why the eyes has to take so much pride that I am seeing the Lord? No, it's not. Let's say that someone is blind. Does it mean that he cannot see God? No, not necessarily. So in this way, a person even in the Kali Yuga can have the darshan of the God, but it can happen in one's heart. So even let's say that even you see the God face to face, like it happened in the previous Yugas. So like it happened in Pratyaksha Pramana, that even when Krishna was physically present here, not many people could understand that actually he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only very, very few people could understand that he is a Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that direct seeing is not the real seeing. That the real seeing is through knowledge. And even Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita, I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent, for I am covered by my internal potency. Therefore, they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. So, this darshan of the Lord can actually be of two types. One is antardarshan, means seeing the Lord in one's heart. And it could be bahirdarshan, means seeing the Lord face to face externally. And even the purport also, Prabhupada mentions that meditators who are very fortunate can see the Vishnu form of Lord within their hearts by following the yogic process. But who see Him face to face is a different matter. So, in this way, there are two types of darshan. One is seeing the Lord internally, antar darshan, and seeing the Lord externally, called as bahir darshan. And if you see the prayers of the previous acharyas, actually, it's like, let's say, even if you look at Damodarashtakam, the previous acharyas never really aspired to see God face to face. They always aspired for the internal antar darshan. In Damodarashtakam also, it says, Sadame mana savisam kimanya. And then this word is repeated two times, where it says that I simply wish that your childhood pastimes be enacted in my heart, and millions of opulence of no use but to see this vision constantly in my mind. So here we can see the author Satyavrata Muni is also praying for the internal darshan, antar darshan. And also many other slokas by the previous acharyas, it says mama mana mandire, like, you know, that please abide in the heart of my, in the temple of my heart, and so on. I think we're running out of time. I'll just skip through pretty quickly. But you can see that all the previous acharyas also have prayed for the Lord to appear in their heart. And even in the Brahma Samhita, even in the Jagannadastakam, we say, Jagannada Swami Nayana Patagame Bhavatume, means, may Jagannada Swami be the constant object of my vision. So that is the prayers of the devotees. And even in the Brahma Samhita, it says, devotees see in their hearts, in their heart of the hearts, with the eye of devotion tinged with the salve of love. And of course, some devotees did get Bahir Darshan, but that is actually very, very rare and exceptional cases. Like, for example, Madhavendra Puri had a direct darshan of the Lord. You know, you all know the pastime of Kshirsor Gopinath, where the Krishna actually had a Bahir Darshan for Madhavendra Puri. And also Rupa Goswami, that Lord Krishna came directly and gave a darshan. But those are exceptional cases. But in general, we can only aspire for the antar darshan. And even Srila Prabhupada, actually, even he had darshan of Krishna in the Jaladuta when he was traveling and he was having a heart attack. And he says in his diary that on the second day, he had a dream that Lord Krishna in many forms was rowing the boat. He told Prabhupada that he should not fear and what should come along. And he gave the assurance to Prabhupada. So now, now this is the last slide. And now let's say that, okay, neither a person who is just a sadhaka, now, how can he see the Lord? I mean, he's neither a tattvadarshi nor he's in a different yuga where he can see the Lord face to face. So, for a sadhaka, how can he see the God? For a sadhaka, the foundation is a shabda. And one of the qualities of the shabda, it is swata pramana, means which is like a self-evident. Just like when there is a sunshine, things become self-evident. So, in this way, for a sadhaka, he can appreciate the Lord and he can see the Lord, not directly, but through the energy of the Lord. By understanding, you know, how the planets are situated, how they are perfectly moving, and that means that shows the presence of the God. And even by seeing, like, simple things like a rose flower, and Prabhupada used to say that when there's an art, that means that there's an artist. So that shows the presence of the God. In this way, even a sadhaka can actually pursue the presence of God and see the God. Okay, I would like to conclude here. Thank you.
Okay. Just a reminder, there's a special breakfast for me and Rajan's birthday, so everybody's invited to go.
Okay, thank you very much. Nirantar Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.